Now, here's an ethical dilemma for you. Is it ever okay to slightly embellish your CV, talk yourself up in an interview, perhaps pretend that you were part of the office management team, when in reality that simply means occasionally the boss shared a coffee with you? I can feel some of you blushing already, and it's going to get worse. It appears an increasing number of Irish companies are asking potential employees to take lie detector tests. George Mashke is founder of an anti-polygraph website. Professor Don Gruben is a forensic psychiatrist at Newcastle-upon-Tyne University. And first up on this issue, Don Cargill, who's chairman of the British and European Polygraph Association.
The polygraph is an investigative tool. It shouldn't be the only deciding factor whether a person's appointed or not. It should be part of the interview process, along with CRB checks and taking references as well.
George Mashke is founder of Anti-Polygraph. George, why are you so concerned about this?
Well, I'm concerned because lie detector test is bogus technology. Polygraphy is charlatanry. The test is completely unreliable. It has a built-in bias against people who are telling the truth. And moreover, people who are lying can easily beat the test using simple countermeasures that polygraph operators have no demonstrated ability to detect. So when you start making hiring decisions on the basis of lie detector results, you're going to end up making bad decisions.
We also have with us Professor Don Gruben, who's a forensic psychiatrist at the University of Newcastle-upon-Tyne. Don, you've just heard two very clear positions on each end of the extreme. On this evidence question, on the empirical question, does this work?
The evidence is that polygraph isn't bogus technology, that it is able to detect deception, not with 100% accuracy. Because of that, you would never want to use it in isolation, but as part of a range of procedures, it can be a benefit. In terms of beating the polygraph, George is right, it can be beat, but not simply based on what you read on the internet. You really do have to practice with a polygraph in order to be able to beat it.
Where is it particularly useful?
Different applications. We use it quite a lot with sex offenders, where we find it very helpful in getting them to engage in the supervision process. Screening applications are probably the weakest area, where you don't have a known incident that you're looking for. You're really fishing in a pool. Even in that setting, there is evidence that it does assist in identifying individuals who you probably wouldn't want to come work for you.
Don Cargill, what kind of companies are using this technology?
My main work is obviously in the private sector, but we are getting more and more cases of checking for theft, pre-employment screening and vetting a number of private households, particularly nannies and sensitive situations.
And in the case of some very sensitive areas to do with the care of children, creches and the like, Don, some parents might be not only concerned about catching through the use of this technology someone who is lying about a previous conviction or previous abuse of children, but also someone who perhaps is fantasizing about sex with children and might go on for the first time to abuse children in their care. Does your test cover both of those categories?
No. The tests when we're looking at, for instance, nannies, will look at, have you falsified your CV? Are there any deviant reasons why you want this position other than you actually genuinely want the position? Are your references genuine and honest? It's basically used as the filtering tool.
George, you've heard the argument for it, and it's got some scientific support from Don Gruben today.
Yeah,
are you wanting to revise your judgments?
The polygraph scientifically are those who have a vested interest in it, as Professor Gruben does. The overwhelming majority of scientists reject polygraphy, as did the National Academy of Sciences in the United States in a 2001 study of the polygraph. And they didn't conclude that it's a scientific procedure at all, and the claim 85 to 90% accurate is also without scientific basis. The test is so unstandardized and unstandardizable, and there are so many potential confounding factors, variables that are uncontrolled for, that it's really impossible to state with any confidence what the accuracy of any particular polygraph examination is. What it really is a structured interview or interrogation with the assistance of the polygraph instrument. And it's based on a very simplistic understanding of human psychology. The fact is that there's no demonstrated correlation between the indices measured by the polygraph instrument, that's palmar sweating, breathing, blood pressure and heart rate, and deception in humans. Were it such, then the polygraph would be used everywhere. It would not be a controversial subject. It wouldn't be used for entertainment on lowbrow television shows like the Trisha Goddard Show or the Jeremy Kyle Show.
In some American states, they can admit evidence from polygraphs, can't they?
In rare circumstances, yes. But by and large, in criminal cases, it's excluded as evidence, because the great majority of judges in the United States recognize it for the garbage that it is.
Don Gruben, a response to that, because there was a claim of a kind of professional vested interest that came from George?
Yeah, well, there's a number of claims. Again, I disagree with most of them. Firstly, in terms of vested interest, personally, I don't have any vested interest. I'm not a polygraph examiner. I've been looking at this from an academic point of view. George quoted the National Academies of Science research. They were looking at its use in security settings and for security vetting. And their conclusion was it shouldn't be used in that setting because the base rate of deception was too low. You hope you don't have a lot of spies working for you. So if you have an error rate, say, of 10%, and you're going to test 1,000 of your employees, 100 of them will fail to catch your one spy. And if that spy has learned how to beat the polygraph, you're not going to get him anyway. So I don't think it's right to say that there's no scientific justification for it. Where the criticisms come in and where my concern lies is that it's very dependent on the competency of the operator. And it's very difficult for polygraph examiners to show what their own error rates are and what their own competencies are. And certainly if you have a poor polygraph examiner, then his results are going to be no better than chance.
And is there a kind of kite mark that goes with polygraph examiners?
There's quality assurance that you would hope is undertaken, that they have their interviews recorded, that they're looked at by people who understand how polygraph testing works, their chart scoring is quality assured, and so on. So there are ways to make sure that the examiners are competent. But it would be a mistake, I think, to throw out a potentially useful procedure because you have some people who use it who aren't very good. I think the comments about the Tricia Show and Jeremy Kahn Show, I agree entirely. I don't think that says anything about polygraph, but that's not polygraphy. That's entertainment. That's a gimmick.
And George, presumably the American government and other governments in the world use this kind of technology. They spend a lot of money developing technologies like this, don't they?
Yes, indeed they do. And the reason they do it is not because it has any scientific basis or that it's reliable, but because it's useful for getting admissions from people who are naive, who don't understand how the polygraph really works, and who are gullible, who believe in it, that it can detect lies. Especially the media has built up this aura of mystique around the polygraph in the United States and to some extent around the world so that people believe in this. When a person believes that device can detect lies, then when they're told that they're having difficulty with a question, they're more likely to provide information and potentially disqualifying information and employment screening. So that's really why it's used by the United States government as a tool for getting admissions. But again, if the person understands that the test is a sham, that it actually depends on the polygraph operator lying to and otherwise deceiving the person who's being tested about the nature of the procedure itself, then the polygraph is useful against such a person.
How do you cheat a polygraph, George?
The first thing you have to do is to understand how it really works. So the polygraph operator will tell you that they want you to answer all of the questions truthfully and that the slightest bit of deception will be picked up by the instrument. But that's not true. They secretly expect you to be less than truthful or, in fact, to lie in response to a certain category of questions called control or comparison questions. So while you might be asked, were you truthful in your application? That's the relevant question. They're going to compare your reaction to that one to a control question. A control question or probable lie control question might be, did you ever lie to get out of serious trouble? And it's assumed that everyone has lied at some point to get out of trouble, but that in the context of a job application, that they'll lie and say they've never lied to get out of trouble because they want the job. So what they'll do is compare the reaction to the relevant question, have you been truthful in your application, to that control question. And if you react more strongly to the control question, then they assume that you must be telling the truth about the relevant question, the one that the employer is really interested in.
Let me just put some of that to Don Cargill. Don, the claim here seems to be that even if there is some apparent effectiveness in these polygraph contexts, it's not the machine. It's a kind of psychological negotiation through deception that is wrought by the person operating.
First of all, let me comment regarding the daytime TV shows. I used to do one, in fact. The tests are real tests on real people with real issues and to APA, which is American Polygraph Association standard. So they're resolving people's problems, albeit in a cattle market situation afterwards. However, my view is that the instruments we use are 100% accurate in that they are measuring the breathing, the heart rate, the blood pressure and the sweat. The skill, therefore, is for the examiner. There are good doctors and there are bad doctors.
Presumably, Don, I could put myself in a kind of meditative state where I'm listening to your questions and I'm answering them without any kind of investment, emotional investment in my answer, to the point where I don't start sweating, even though I'm lying in this answer.
The answer is that most people, when they get to the polygraphic test stage, are obviously very, very nervous, and nervous reactions have to be removed. The way they're somewhat removed is via the control questions. the guilty remain focused on the relevant question and the innocent then focus on where they've told a lie on the control questions. So the control questions are good for the examinee. And as far as countermeasures are concerned, good examiners are fairly well aware of countermeasures, except that the polygraph is somewhat of a dumb animal. It's going through a computer and through a computer box in its simplistic form. And the skill of the examiner is interpreting the chart readings. And again, the good examiner is a lot better than a bad examiner.
Given that what we're hearing is that the effectiveness of the polygraph is around 80 to 90% in many contexts, if, Don, you were to be in conversation with an employer having done a test for them, and they said, obviously, we've done a number of tests, psychological screening of other kinds, but it was your test that pushed us over the line here. That's why the guy didn't get the job. Would you be comfortable with that?
Yes, I would. Because I'd be confident in my work, and certainly better than taking references in many, many cases. And it should be used as, say, the part of the investigative process, but not as the deciding factor.
Don Cargill from the British and European Polygraph Association, speaking with Don Gruben, the forensic psychiatrist from Newcastle upon Tyne, and George Maschke, founder of the Anti-Polygraph website. We